5 o'clock, folks. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. We're here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. We got a full house today, so we say good afternoon to Dr. Brittany Dean, Dr. Taylor, and all of our guests.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to all our listeners out there. So, yes, you're right. We have a full house today. So, we have some very important members of the Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago. And last week, we had an incredible conversation with Mr. Richie Bansraj about the International Day of the Boy Child. But we are still in June, and of course, men's mental health still very much matters. So we are going to be continuing this incredible conversation on men's mental health. And as we know, that's a topic that often goes unspoken about, but it desperately does need our attention. And, you know, I'm still reflecting on the powerful insights that we shared at our Father's Flex Health Fair at Eastgate. And we are still reminded that young men still seek belonging. And when those positive spaces aren't available, they can be drawn to the negative one. So today we're going to ask, how can we as a society better support our boys and men emotionally, mentally, and socially? So joining me for this crucial discussion is, once again, Mr. Richie Bansraj, the Caribbean Ambassador for the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men and Boys. And that really is a global movement that is going to shine on the often overlooked issues of violence against men and boys. And it's really about building awareness, dismantling the stigma. And of course, joining both of us would be Miss Kylie Jacob. She's an internationally accredited director and producer, and you may know her as the producer for shows like Carnival Catwalk, The Doctor's Journal, Medical Associates Health Chat. And of course, we are so honored to have her here to tell us a little bit about her experience in media and how that pertains to the discussion today. And of course, we also have Dr. Mike, who needs no introduction at
all. Hello. Happy to be here.
Yes, so we are going to have a very loaded conversation today because we have a full house, and we hope people do call in pertaining to this conversation because it's an important one. And you know, Bass, last week we didn't get that much calls because, like you said, sometimes the men don't like to talk.
Yeah.
So you know,
we're open for a different today, you know.
Yes.
And take it in, guys, because after June, that is it for us.
That's not true.
Why do you think young men are actively searching for a sense of belonging in today's society? That's a big question.
All right. So before we even get into that question, right, I wanted to touch on something that I saw that CARICOM actually posted, right? CARICOM themselves actually posted. So this is their statement, their actual official statement from CARICOM. The COR deplores the immense, this is what you guys say, war in Gaza, deplores the immense suffering and tragic loss of civilian lives, especially women and children in Gaza, with more deaths every day and a continued inability to access food and humanitarian assistance. So now, I was like reading this statement and I was wondering, what about the men and boys who are forced into the wars? They do not want to, most of them don't want to fight a war that these older politicians are the ones instigating. Sure. But they are forced into war, pick up the guns, and even the young boys, 16 and up, are forced to enter these battles. Mm-hmm. Now, I think a statement like this, it shows that men and boys are less valued in this regard. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, women and girls also have their issues, and women and children also have their issues too. It is sad that they are facing these issues, right? Mm-hmm. But how do we get media to understand the importance to highlight both men and women's issues? Mm-hmm.
But I think that also plays into, you know, this age old where men and boys, when you attach them to violence and physical cruelty, they can handle it. That's what they're built for. That's what they're made for. Hmm. But of course, we want people to turn the page. We want them to click. We want them to share the story. So of course, you have to mention the women and the girls that are, you know, the victims. And we tend to see that usually when it comes to media, that we put a slight twist or turn closer onto the woman and girls in placing them in victim mentalities rather than the boys and the men.
It's supposed to be equal. Mm-hmm. It's true gender equality. When you think about gender equality, you don't put out statements like this saying only, well, particularly the women and children. We understand that. We know the women and children are affected, but you need to find a way to coach it too, because then you will say that, oh, okay, well, men, the same thing you said, men supposed to be in the front line. They're supposed to be able to take the fight. And then the women and girls are supposed to be victims of a war. Mm-hmm. So all of these things they must take into consideration when they put out a statement like this. Mm-hmm. Because it have persons like us, me, Dr. Tiloxing. I showed Dr. Jerome Tiloxing, the guy who coined International Men's Day, about this. And he put out a statement as well. Hopefully it gets heard, it gets read, it gets published, because something like this should not have been posted like in this context.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that sometimes we have to look at why a statement is said. And that sounds very emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. So when you use females, you use the women and the children, that usually appeals to
excite them.
Yeah, yeah. To get some sort of reaction. Yeah.
The women and children.
All right, so like we're going into our question. Why do you think young men are actively searching for a sense of belonging in today's society?
Well, generally, everybody wants a sense of belonging. As we are humans, we are social beings, right? We want acceptance. We want to have things that we align to. We want to be with those persons. So I was doing a session yesterday with some students as well. I was talking to them about from childhood going straight into adolescence, right? You want to seek groups that you align with. So like video gaming groups, sporting groups, and stuff like that. So somebody might say they want to play football and they end up liming with footballers. Or somebody might say they want to play video games and end up liming with video gamers. But if they feel excluded from video gamers, footballers, and they start to listen to the gunman tuner music, and they say, this song exciting and I could get money quick. And they know the community leaders within their community, who you think they're going to attach to? And the parents not home all the time. They have no mentors in the community. Who you think they're going to attach to? They're going to find a way to attach themselves to those community leaders. And those community leaders they're businessmen, you know. They're using you as a form of profit for their business. If you die, there's nothing. They have plenty of you that will just replace. And that is going back to the sense of belonging, we are humans. We are just humans. We just want a sense of belonging.
So is that young people don't have a sense of self, a mind of their own?
Well, that's when they're developing self. Yeah. When they're developing self, they want to network with people. I would not be in this room here if we didn't have things aligned. Mm-hmm. I wanted a sense of self as well to be with them. Mm-hmm. I am youth. They are also focused. They are youth as well, focused on the youth organization, Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago. Is younger persons in charge of that. Mm-hmm. So I aligned with that, and they align with health, and they align with mental health as well. Mm-hmm. So all of these things is what we seek.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right. And what about what happens when young men do not have access to positive support systems or safe spaces?
Well, exactly what I said. They jump to the community. They go to the point of least resistance. So they'll go to the community leaders, the persons within the community that offering, saying, hey, you can come here and just... They wouldn't offer and say, yeah, I'll give you a gun, you know. Mm-hmm. They would just offer and say, you can just come and chill here. You will get food, you will get shelter, you will get clothing. You might get a gold ring, you might get a gold chain. But you don't have to do anything just yet. And then eventually... It have manipulation that will take place. Mm-hmm. And they have different tactics. Like I say, all the tactics, but have different tactics how they will manipulate these young men and absorb them and become part of the group, where the young man will say that, oh, okay, this is my group. I need to fight for them.
Yeah.
It comes just like wars. Mm-hmm. Country saying, this is my country. I will fight for my country.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And when we're looking at positive spaces, it's not just something physical. It is what we're seeing now, like on social media, in the media. And I remember when I was in high school, we actually did poetry. So I did literature. And there was a poem that was in regards to these young men going to war and all the propaganda that they face going to war, all the posters that are telling you, you're doing this for your country, you're doing this for glory,
the sense of belonging.
You are, you are a man, so this is what you're supposed to do. And all of those things are really propaganda again for men to go to war, but it's really what we're discussing today, that violence that men and boys are privy to, that I guess we as females, we don't get to see that side of things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't see the ugly side of certain situations. But I mean, yes, women go to war as well, but I feel like ever since, you know, the big wars that we do know about, it was always men on the front lines being exposed to that level of violence.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to even us as young children.
Yeah.
When you see mm-hmm. a baby, you usually see a baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boy, girl, it doesn't matter. The baby boy who's in mommy's hands, you know, you don't say, well, why are you coddling the baby?
Yeah.
However, when we start to get a little older and
yes.
older,
mm-hmm.
you want the boy to go out and rough and tumble and he falls. Oh, it's okay. Boys don't cry, those type of things. But it mm-hmm. starts to get to a space where as soon as there's a little sense of independence for boys,
mm-hmm.
we want them to be the strong ones,
right.
be physically capable, be rough and tough. Mm-hmm. And so when we think violence, you don't automatically think of the boys. In fact, you think of the boys in a different way. You think of them more as the ones doing the action rather than those being victims
yes.
of it.
Right. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's funny, it's because both things apply, because they are doing the violence and they are the victim of mm-hmm. the violence as well too.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
So I just wanted to highlight again, right, the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men and Boys is on the every year on the 31st of January. So this could keep in the listeners' ears and in their minds so that they remember that the 31st of January every year is commemorated. It was about 6 or 7 years that we have been having this day commemorated. But Dr. Deluxing recently appointed me as the Caribbean ambassador. And since then, we have been getting a lot of traction. A lot of men came up to me, a lot of boys came up to me and tell me about the issues that are faced by them in society, some of which are highlighted here already in the discussion, right? So we want to do a summit later mm-hmm. on, well, next year, in 2026. We want to do a summit, a global summit, to highlight the importance of the day.
Nice.
So that we do it hybrid. So, because mm-hmm. not everybody going to be able to attend. We have persons from Canada, we have persons from the United States of America,
yeah.
every and the Caribbean region too is very strong as well. A lot of them, because men and boys are the ones committing the crimes,
mm-hmm.
right? Most of the crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this? And men and boys are the ones that are dying from all of these things as well. Women and
yeah.
girls as well, and children.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find a way to address these situations as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, once again, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor special edition today. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Of course, on number 625-2257, 627-3223. And feel free to send those WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Why is there still a stigma around men seeking mental health support?
That's a man thing. That's a man thing, right?
Mm.
So even yesterday, I keep going to schools, right? And I always make sure and I do my kind of quality to research. I ask the students, is it okay for a man to cry?
Mm.
Is it okay? No. No. Some schools will say, yeah, it is. Some schools will say, no.
Well, what are the schools that say yes? And is there a difference between
the geographic location plays a major thing, because
wow.
the people in the western side may think different from the persons in the east and the persons from the south and the persons from central, because I've been to schools all over and even in Tobago too. They have different perspectives. Mm. So when I was asking this question and I was like, no, it is okay for a man to cry. And I was like, I ain't crying over no gal. I ain't crying over nobody. I's a big man. And I was like, you see, that is the issue. We are humans.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel to cry, but you just hold back your tears.
Yeah.
Why does you hold back your tears for? Because you feel like you're not a man, you're not a boy. But in reality, you should be able to show your emotions. Happy,
mm-hmm.
sad, any type of emotions. Angry, whatever the case is. But you know, it's more accepted for a man to show, he's angry.
Yeah.
He's more angry and everything
sure.
like that.
What about
so,
a guy watching a movie with his wife or his girlfriend and he might shed a tear and she might look and, but I want to you, buddy.
Boy, I watch How to Train Your Dragon and I cry. Anyway, And I posted that on social media, right? Yeah, and people messaged me and I was like, it was it that good, you know, why you cry for? And I was like, it is a man, I'm a man, so I'm allowed to cry as well. Mm-hmm. And I try to encourage boys as well to not necessarily to cry, but to show your emotions and express emotions and talk. And I also talked about something called creating a safe space. I tell them all the time, I need to create a safe space when
let's
I'm
take, gaming. Let's take, let's take a call there. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Binal here. Okay, so it's okay for a man to cry. But if you're on the verge of tears and you decide, you know what, I just don't want to cry. For whatever reason, you decide, I'm not crying, look where I am, this is embarrassing, and so on. You know, even a woman who's in a particular place and she's sad, like a funeral, for example, and she feels like a cry is coming on and she suppresses it, what harm is that? I don't see any harm in suppressing a cry, suppressing a laugh, suppressing your anger, suppressing your hunger. You have to control these things. Otherwise, you're just crazy. I want to comment on that. Thank you.
That's a very interesting comment, you know. I fully agree with what you're saying in terms of controlling your emotions, but there are different types of emotions and there are different ways you can express your emotions. So, for example, someone can be angry and just be angry, but someone can be angry and act out on their anger. So there's a difference between how you express the emotion and how you feel the emotion. Some people, they bottle up the feelings and then, you know, enough is enough, and then someone gets, you know, basically shot just because this person cannot take it anymore because they had no other outlet in terms of how are they managing their stress, mm-hmm. how are they managing their anger. So I think, for example, I never saw my father cry ever, but that's a different time. You know, he was strongly in the military and the way that he was brought up is different to our generation now and the struggles that we face. And as men, if we are not taught to deal with the current world and the current status around us, we will be crushed, and we are being crushed because of that.
So I understand exactly what caller was saying too, and what you said as well. Mm-hmm. The caller was saying that basically context matters. You don't just go in a band, you're lying with all your friends and thing, and just so you just bust down in tears. Yeah. It could happen, but in reality, there are repercussions to the other men judging you for crying in the band, whatever, mm-hmm. and just crying on the place. And but we're just using crying as an extreme emotion, right? Mm-hmm. We could say happiness and thing too. Some men are free to show the two. Excited about they getting a relationship or something like that, they want to be nonchalant, you know. Yeah. They want to be don't show too much excitement, attachment to this significant other.
True.
So the context matters in terms of how it is that you interact. But what we're trying to say is when you're down to your conversations with your close peers in your house or your family or your close friends, mm-hmm. in a setting that isn't like a bar or a party, mm-hmm. or like any grocery or something like that.
Yeah.
You're in a room and you're just talking. What issues? Yes, it is okay to cry in that sense.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all. Interesting program. And I'm in my 70s. I do cry. But stick up in there, I'll tell you why I cry. I do not cry for, let's put it this way, stupidity, immaturity, nonsensical things that you know, normal human beings, including myself, met it out at times. For instance, like when you give a man a bad drive, and you are right, and he is instilling and bullying you that you are wrong. I wouldn't cry for that. You know what I will cry for? I will cry for emotional happiness. When I go to a cashier, right? A young lady is cashing, and she's polite, right? And she's oozing intelligence, right? That gets to my inner system, my heart. You know, starts racing with emotion for that person. And before I go, I'm a spiritual person, before I leave that counter, I will say, my dear, keep up your intelligence, keep up your personality, don't let anybody take it away from you. Okay? That's when I cry. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I like that. I like that. I like that. And you can tell he has maturity with everything, but he's a 70-year-old guy.
Right, for me, for instance, for instance, family and stuff, like I accept death, right? Yeah. People die. You know, people must die. We must die. Yeah. I don't cry at funerals. I've never cried at a funeral. Wow. There's something wrong with me? My mother, father, never didn't cry.
Wow. No.
I just accepted death. We die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, different people have different ways of dealing with things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's about being in touch and in tune with yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of maturity. Because remember, I might be able to manage a situation differently from how Brittany does manage a situation. And it doesn't mean that I am better or she is worse. It's just we have to be in tune with ourselves in terms of knowing, okay, this is too much for me. And okay, maybe I let out a little emotion, because studies show that actually crying, it reframes the brain and you actually release certain hormones, etc. And the purpose of crying can be multitudinal, where you actually have the situation, okay, for example, if something bad happened to you, you cry. And now your body comes back, okay, we're going to conquer this now. You understand? Because if you're crying for a bad situation, you want to rise above the situation, you want to come out of the situation, or you're going to find different ways to come out of that situation that you're dealing with as well, too. For example, if someone bullying you, you know, and you're crying, whatever, eventually you'll figure out ways to say, okay, maybe I need to talk to my parents, maybe I need to talk to the bully, or find different ways to avoid that situation from happening. So it kind of could put you in a better position as well.
But I think even as you said clearly, that sometimes people just don't cry. That's not how they express themselves.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is understanding that you feel a certain type of way.
Agreed.
And then when it gets too much, you seek help.
Yes.
Talk to a friend, something along those lines, because that is one step closer from us moving away from the violence that we're seeing perpetuated on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Just taking someone to say, hey, I am angry or I'm upset or something is bothering me, and reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, you know, you might not cry, you might not scream out of anger, but at least you recognize that something's happening and I need help.
So that, I have two things to say. So it links to the barriers of reporting violence that are faced by men and boys as well.
Mm-hmm.
For points, the fear of looking weak. Fear of being judged or not believed, because they are not really, you don't really hear believe him, you just hear believe her whenever reporting a form of domestic violence or gender-based violence, right? Fear of losing the children in custody battles, so they don't want to provide too much information, and then they don't want to lose, because the court tends to favor who?
The woman.
Right. So the lack of male focus support services or shelters. Remember, you were showing me something today with regards to what does it have for men and boys, and it doesn't really have anything from the state level for men and boys in Trinidad and Tobago. We have some NGOs that are doing the work. I mean, we are an NGO. We push real hard for Men's Mental Health Month, and other NGOs have been doing stuff like Fathers Association and stuff like that too. But we need to do more at a state level so that other organizations can start to see that men's issues are important as well. And now I want to link that straight to the media part, because you wanted to talk about the media, Kylie. So the media in itself has, when you're listening to radio and stuff like that, they label persons based on how they speak, the way how you speak, and what it is that you say sometimes, right? So media often portrays the men as aggressors, emotionally unavailable, comedy sometimes, mostly just comedy, always strong, in control. But what we must look at is, if a man calls on radio and he says that, well, hey, my wife, well, you know, she cheating on me, I need an outlet, you know, the radio will most like, especially if it's prime time radio, they might make a joke out of it. Yeah, he get horn, P, and play the horn and all kind of thing.
Oh gosh.
He get cheat on. Nah, but that's tough. But that is what has happened on radio, right?
Yeah.
But if a woman called in and said the same thing, they might have say, all right, it has this support service for her.
Right.
Although it has support services for men as well, but very little.
Yeah.
It's still, they're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So they know the media itself, from like television straight down to radio and all the other forms of media, social media too.
Yeah, social
media. Need to
find
a way to portray men a certain way.
But then
social
media
is a big
toxic
one.
Toxic masculinity as well too, so both sides.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, to go back to what Richie was saying, so I asked him if there were any big campaigns that really showcase violence against men and boys. And he said, no, we don't have any big campaigns like that. And I was watching on social media, and there was this interesting social experiment that happened where you see a couple, or seemingly a couple, walking down a street, their patrons around, and you see the man being very aggressive, talking to the woman, holding her hand, grabbing her in a certain way, and everybody all of a sudden is paying attention. They rush in, they help.
I think I saw that,
And then you see, probably maybe an hour or 2 hours later, in the same exact street, the same exact couple, the woman is pushing and being overly aggressive. And you're seeing people taking videos, people laughing, people, you know, and it just shows you the difference, because in a situation where it's the same two people, same actions, same verbal aggression, we view it differently.
True.
And even as viewers, you look on and be like, you know, if you see that,
yeah,
it looks a little jokier, a small girl really, you know, pushing on a big guy. But these things happen, and it just showed that in the same setting, one person got help, the other person didn't.
Wow.
Just today I was watching there was a video on social media. The guy was probably the size of Dr. Taylor. And his girlfriend, probably the size of Dr. Brittany Dean, and she was slapping. When I say slapping, slapping. And I count about like 20 slaps. Slap. And that guy stood up there, took those slaps, right? And a little while after, he was like, he was going into the car, she was going into the car, he pulled out of the car, said, please, just leave me alone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then he couldn't take it anymore. He hit her. Hit her just once, and she got knocked out.
Wow.
Just once. And that was it. You know, I mean, some men out there, they take and they take and they take.
Wow.
But sometimes they just can't take anymore.
Yeah, I think people need to realize that it's not just the physical that matters. It's also the mental abuse and the emotional abuse that comes with that physical abuse. And yeah, you may not, as a small feminine woman, actually cause full harm to a masculine man's body, but you are breaking his mindset. You're breaking
his...
You're
abusing him.
Yes. You are mentally abusing him still. And the mind breaks much quicker than the physical body breaks.
So yeah, that links. But I could use the example of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, right? The entire situation was... We know of it. So of course, we in the room here know about it, but some people listening may not know about it. But basically, she tried to burn this man down by accusing him of a lot of things that he wouldn't have done. She gaslit him. She physically abused him.
Yeah.
And every time that he would like try to retaliate, then she would start to record, because she trying to get something out of him, right? Because she was being very strategic how she operated. So now men and also boys need to be very careful of things like false accusations. There's a serious thing when it comes to sexual harassment as well, and in terms of abuse.
Yeah.
So we are very vulnerable when it comes to that, because the court now, the moment you get judged, before you even get judged by the court.
Yeah.
The what is called the court of the social versus the actual judicial court itself is two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're already, guilty before even proven innocent as a man. So that is why men need to, like, when it comes to a form of abuse and a woman slapping on the man and everything like that, he needs to be very careful how he deals with that situation. We have True. Technology and all these kind of things now, so I always will advise men to try to take recordings, or well, it depending on the situation, the certain circumstance, just like yeah. what Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation was like, because if he didn't have all of that, he had a real strong evidence, you know.
Yeah.
And still he lost his contract with Pirates of the Caribbean, one of my favorite movies of all time.
That real hit, that real hit.
Let's take another call there. Hello, good afternoon. Yes, hello, caller. Hello. I seem to have lost that one. Make sure to call us back. 625-2257, 627-3223. Somebody says here that, good day. Well, some of our boys at Coover West Secondary only cry when they get into trouble so as to get administration to feel sorry for them to avoid suspension.
I know Coover West Secondary School. So, yes, that school, well, is tactics. I mean, it's kids, you know, they will utilize tactics. I mean, one time I was in class too, and I get in trouble. I was making a real noise, you know. I was in class clung, and the teacher called me out to read something in class, and was like, she going to put me out if I don't read this thing, and I start to fake crying. I shaking my chin, all kind of thing, and like breathing hard, all kind of thing. So, I mean, it all depends. Yeah, that is as a kid, you know, you do those things, but manipulation. It's still manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to something we said probably a while ago. People repeat the behaviors that they are rewarded for. Mm-hmm. So if they know that worked in the past, they are going to do it again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. All right, definitely.
But it's good to see that they're actually crying and understanding
that's the only time men will cry. Men will cry to get themselves out of a situation.
Wow.
Oh gosh, don't leave mena, baby, don't leave mena. Don't leave mena. That's when they'll look to cry. In what ways can we create more safe spaces for men to express their emotions?
That's an important.
Mm-hmm. So we had to start from young. We need to have mentors, and every single time I was on air, I talk about mentorship. Mm-hmm. We need to have mentors, and male mentors preferably for the men and the boys particularly. A man could have a mentor as well. So I have persons that I look up to, like Dr. Jerome Tilok Singh. He's a guy that I look up to when it comes to the space of addressing the issues that are faced by men and boys as well. Mm-hmm. But we need to have mentors that talk about issues, and also creating safe spaces, as I say, the video game, also sporting, also creating youth groups, also joining NGOs like this, that the Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago, one of the best, might I say.
We're looking for volunteers. Anybody who wants to come and be mentored by Dr. Mike or Doc or Richie, not Dr. Richie, but Richie.
I wish. So, I'm going on a tangent here again, but the Health and Nutrition Association of Trinidad and Tobago focuses on not just physical health, right? It focuses on the mental health as well. This is why for Men's Mental Health Month, we push in so much of discussion with regards to the men and the mental health combination with regards to the physical health, because mental health links to physical health. Remember, we're talking about the consumption of the antibiotics and how the gut then affects the mental, so it could affect both ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could explain a little bit about that for the listeners to the gut health relationship as well.
Yeah, so basically there were studies that show that someone taking antibiotics at 6 to 8 months after they have taken the antibiotics, there is a 2 to 3 times increased risk of depression. Basically, when you take antibiotics, you are destroying bacteria, but not only the bacteria that the antibiotic is designed to kill. So you have normal, what we call gut flora. These are the good bacteria in the gut that actually digest and break down your food to kind of keep you healthy. So essentially, sometimes you can destroy those bacteria with antibiotics, and sometimes you could go to the point where you have extreme destruction of all the bacteria, and now you actually have what you call an overgrowth syndrome, where you have bad bacteria taking over, and that is like a medical emergency. But you know, just to add to that whole community thing, there was also a study done on the Italian population in the US showing that even though they were consuming exceedingly large amounts of fat and oils,
cheese and things,
and cheese and mm-hmm. smoking as well too, they actually had a longer lifespan than their counterparts just because of the intense, strong community that they had fostered among themselves. Because remember, most of the Italians in the US, they actually migrated from Italy. And you could imagine that there's data to show that just because they have a strong community, that offset.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
That's insane.
The biggest problem that I've seen, or if just looking at it in general, back when my parents were growing up, the village raised the child. We've come to be so independent from each other.
Right.
And now our children, both the boys and the girls, look to social media for their mentors. They look to artists. They look to different people that aren't directly in their community. And we're also not holding up our mentors in our community to the standard that they should be. So we're seeing a lot more, especially with social media, seeing a lot of people's flaws. A lot of people size that they wouldn't really put in the public domain.
Yeah, but some of these so-called mentors will tell you, listen, I didn't come into this to be anybody's really mentor, role model. You know, I'm just doing me. You know?
Yeah, but
why is your child mentoring me? Your child should be mentoring you.
You should be the mentor.
You should be mentor for your child.
And that's true. But I also think that's a breakdown of community where you're seeing parents are tired. They're working all the time. We've come into a very industrialized world where you see the kids that used to be like, you know, how my parents grew up are very different to the kids growing up now. How I grew up is very different to the kids that are in high school and primary school now.
And the thing is, that community, that goes back to that very first question that we were talking about. It's a sense of belonging. You know, it gives you that sense of self. It gives you an identity because you now belong to a group, or you now belong to something bigger than yourself. And that thing about community, that's how we see our young men and our young boys going astray as well. It's because they end up in communities that make them feel that they belong, but are using them for alternative, you know, whatever their value system
it's
completely different. And sometimes it's for violence, sometimes it's for whatever crime that they're committing, and it's because everybody in the community is adding to that, and they think that that is what gives them a sense of value and a sense of self. So if we don't start to build communities that are fostering something more positive for our young men and our young boys, you will find that they are going to be strayed towards any sort of community, whether it's positive or negative.
But how do we teach our more young men to want to lead and not follow?
Right, so to lead... To lead, you know, say that how people are, there's a contradiction. Some people say that how some people are born leaders, some people are made leaders. I don't know what it was, but for me personally, I consider myself a leader in this space, but I wasn't born a leader. I wasn't a public speaker. I wasn't anything like this. I didn't know what I was about. But when eventually you become passionate about something, you become a leader in this space unknowingly. Because you keep pushing and you keep advocating for the right things that you think is right, actually, and you end up becoming a leader in this space. So it all depends on how it is you're charismatic or whatever type of leadership style that you are. I don't even know what type of leadership style I consider myself as. Some people might say I'm one way or the other, but either way, my goals and objectives in life align with one thing in particular. I use myself as an example, because as I say, becoming a leader is a... You had to become a leader. I believe you don't really be born a leader. Your parents can encourage you how much ever, because we've seen it, right? Like those celebrities and stuff like that. They are leaders. Celebrities are leaders. But they're kids. They try to guide their kids towards leadership, but their kids just fall back into different things and do different alternative stuff. So, yeah, I would say that about leadership. But I wanted to talk about something now with regards to, and it linked back to what was talked about earlier, right? So coping mechanisms of our men and boys, we need to find it have negative coping mechanisms and have positive coping mechanisms. So you're talking about the antibiotics and stuff like that, consumption of certain things. Now men consume alcohol in Trinidad and Tobago. Like, it have a bar here and it have a bar right here. It have bars right next to each other in Trinidad and Tobago. The avenue, for example, is fuller. But that's a different scene. But I went down in South too, in Central. It have bars right next to each other. I'm from Central, by the way, earlier, and kind of like from South too. So, yeah, but it have bars right next to each other. So, alcohol, and it is a cultural thing where men after work, they go home and, well, they don't go home. They go to the bar. And then they drink, they consume alcohol as a form of a coping mechanism. And then go home and then whatever.
And not just alcohol, eh? A lot of smoking happening as well.
Yeah. But isn't it like a mind power thing? For like me, example, I'm in entertainment. I don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go out, yes. I drink water, I drink more. People laugh. You drink it, but
no, you see that exactly the same thing, yeah. I was going to say. Yeah.
But it don't matter to me because social, I tell them that pressures. Doesn't make me less of a man because I don't drink. Right. I don't want to drink.
Peer pressure, I don't drink either. And it's be the same thing. It's Richie, you're drinking here, dry coconut water.
Yeah.
I stand up in the club, I drink in coconut water, people don't know.
Yeah. You know, don't drink.
And
don't
also, drink. Coping mechanisms I've noticed with the young boys in schools that I've been to as well, they're vaping. The vaping thing.
Yeah, the smoking.
The vaping is a gateway. They say, no, it's clean, it's healthier, right? Gateway, but in reality, it's a gateway drug to marijuana.
But you ever ask them why? Why are you vaping? Why
it's look cool. It's look cool, Yancy. They will tell you how it have people on TikTok who just do like signs and things when they're blowing out the smoke, yes, and it's just so cool to blow vapor out of you. So...
But yeah, it's like a whole society thing. I actually saw something on WHO, the World Health Organization, where they were saying that all these different flavors that these vapes come in, it's kind of like, it's, you know, it's marketed towards the younger generation because
the colorful.
It's candy, you know, it's like candy as a kid, except it's candy for adults, where you get these vapes and they're all these different flavors and become so addictive because you can do it anywhere.
And all that is marketing, because if we look back to the origin of tobacco, women found it disgusting until they did an ad, and it just put a woman doing this sign, and all of a sudden you had 90 to 95% consumption of the tobacco by women.
And it was
but that's the Western. The westernized
complete
woman.
The day with pencil and hedges.
Yeah, because in the tribal days.
Well, you know.
Let's take a call there, right? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You know, yes, we are emotional beings. We have an endocrine system that drives us beyond what our mental faculties could control. And we, recognizing that, we have to create spaces for people to express. But, There seem to be a kind of campaign to have men expressing. And I really have not observed a breakdown in society because of a failure of men to find people to talk to. Now, they may not find somebody who will understand a real breakdown and cry. And I just feel that maybe men don't do that because our system works differently, you know, and that's why it doesn't happen. Because how it is that we are trying to say, well, not me, but people are trying to say that all of this is cultural, that we are behaving in this way because we were brought up this way and so on. Nobody ever told me you shouldn't cry, you shouldn't be sad, you shouldn't, you know, feel this way and feel that way and whatnot. I am just this way because this is how I am. And, you know, I don't understand why we feel this urge to retrain men away from what is basically their nature, to not be breaking down and crying all over the place and showing they're getting angry. Well, they get angry, right? Yeah, the hormones and whatnot drive us in a particular way. And of course, you have to control.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah. I know Richie's bubbling there to buzz, but I just want to say one thing quick, right? Look at this, right? Our ancestors, for example, my father, grandfather, etc., these people were men of war, right? They would see their neighbor's house get blown up and they just have to go back to work the next day. This is a completely different society that we live in now. We have so many different challenges, not just we pick up our arms and we go and fight, and we are not just rewarded based on our merit only. That's not the world we live in anymore. There's so much more complexities right now in terms of dealing with day-to-day life, stress, you know, relationships, children, all these different things make it so much more difficult to navigate. Whereas before, you could get up, you go to work. Remember the factory age? Mm. That was our just our generation before. So now things are so much more different and complex that we can't use the same systems that we used to cope before in this world now.
But even in those times, I mean, I've seen pictures of soldiers who lost their comrades. Mm-hmm. They cried. I mean, each person is different. So, like I said before, one person might cry. But to the caller, I would like to ask them, even though it's not a need for them to cry, have they seen a boy or man cry, and how did they feel when they saw that? Because they can't empathize. I mean, that's not how they react to certain situations. But have you seen a family member or anybody cry, and how did that make you feel? And what does that say about society today?
And I just want to add, like, I honestly don't think that it's necessarily, oh, you need to cry, or you need to mm-hmm. do this. It's about being in tune with your own emotions and finding ways to properly and healthily express those emotions. So it may not necessarily be crying, but mm-hmm. it may be going and sitting down and meditating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It may be going to the gym. And mm-hmm. it's not, I think we're just using crying as a very, very extreme. And then going back to something that he also said, they were not told that they couldn't cry, but you were told other things that could have triggered that mm. I should not be crying in this situation. Mm-hmm. You probably would have been told you need to man up or you need to do this. And it's not explicitly do not cry, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. You're being told things in different ways. And I think that, yes, the older generation, we do find that they are able to stomach things a little more. They're a little tougher. Their plates are more sturdy, so they could handle a little more things. Mm-hmm. But we are now in the age of technology. We're in the age where you have access to so many different things. We have information overload occurring. And that is a factor that we have to factor in when we're looking at this newer generation.
Let's try another call here. Let's go. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bate.
Hi.
I would like to make one comment. The roles of male and female, the genders, in this last generation has been redefined on so many levels. It can bring confusion to both genders and with these other issues dealing with other genders. You know, masculine is something that's supposed to be respected, so too being, you know, feminine. But the roles and the guidelines are crossed so many times now, it's very confusing.
That's a good point.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What about, I mean, what could confuse a lot of men these days? Like she say, roles have been defined. Let's say you're entertaining a young lady, you now meet a young lady. Some women, you meet them, within a week, they want you to pay their rent, pay their house, take care of them, to do their nails, their toes, and I'm, well, a man supposed to do men doing that? Because a man supposed to do that, a man supposed to provide, right?
Wow.
You know? What say about that?
All right, so there's a tricky comment. That all depends on if you have a good relationship with that person. Like,
yeah, no,
like,
me the person I just said.
A good understanding. So, like, if that person is a real...
You know me the person that understands the parent?
No, but that's a culture. That's a culture thing. There's certain things that's like, you know...
Yeah. Look, the thing the other day, I can't go out on a $200 date with this guy. I deserve more than that.
Yeah.
You know? But a woman could carry a man for doubles. And he's supposed to accept that.
No. I think it could swap, man. Once I'm in the gender space, so every time I interact with someone, I would tell them, I'm about gender equality, you know, and it is what it is, right? But I want to go back now. The last caller was right. The gender rules have been changing, and I always encourage the gender rules to be, you know, swapped depending on what the cultural context is. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to the guy who talked earlier, and he said that why you feel this urge? Why do we feel this urge to retrain men from their natural, you know, behavior, their natured behavior?
Mm.
And I would say the reason why is because men are dying by suicide.
Mm.
Men are falling into depression more now than it was way back then.
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
But in a nice way. I just say men have a problem. Men go on through, you know.
Men have a lot of overthinking. There's going through a lot of mental health issues. But the statistics show, obviously.
Yes.
All I know, I talk about it all the time. Mm. The 82%, right? The 82% for the past, recently 10 years, 2011 to 2021.
Yeah.
Men and boys have been dying by suicide.
And just
and
last week,
suicide.
We had two suicides.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, a young male and an older male as well.
Exactly.
What about men who cannot accept their relationship is over?
Oh boy.
And there's a complicated situation asking that here. Why women cannot accept that?
I said men.
Men. It is a complicated situation. Yeah, I can't answer that because the same thing. If you ask it about women, I can't.
I wish more men could be like me.
I think men
love stronger than women.
I think it goes back, guys, to the community level again.
Yeah.
When you're young, that is when you know your self-confidence grows in certain aspects. So to answer the part about the leader, everybody can become a leader if they want, and if they're passionate about something, they'll find something passionate about and they'll become leaders, but they need to have the confidence to do that.
Right.
And it starts at home, where you feel that confidence. It starts with the mentors in the community that are looking out for you, giving you good examples. It also starts in the school where their teacher, you know, emboldens these young kids to, you can do anything.
Yes.
But we start killing dreams very, very early and making people feel, you want to be a pilot, you can't be. You don't see where you grew up, those type of different things like that. So I think it starts at a very young age where we need to start encouraging these boys to become confident in themselves. Mm-hmm. So when they're in a relationship, if a relationship ends, it's not the end all. That there's something else to come out. There's lessons to be learned from the relationship. Why are you smiling at me like that?
Yeah, so we have a message coming in from our communications manager, Stefan Rampersad. He says, safe spaces start at home. And how we learn how to be and how to behave, foundations of which is the institutions and culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as the time coming to an end, I see we have like 2 minutes left, I would just say, what can you do? Some pointers of what can you do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a parent, you talk to your sons, let them express the emotions without shame. If you're a teacher, because teachers is, as I keep saying, teachers are more than just a teacher, it's more than just a job, there's a youth development worker, right? Notice the signs of abuse. Try to notice the signs of abuse in boys and don't write them off as they're just acting out, right? If you're a policymaker, like a person in government or NGO or something like that, someone who stands up for society, ensure domestic violence laws and shelters are inclusive of male victims. Like, we need to have more shelters and homes available for men and boys that are going through domestic violence as well, because it does happen, right? If you're a man yourself and you have male friends, of course, speak up, pull up on your brethren, speak to your brethren, support each other, and seek help whenever you need it. So those are the pointers that I would want to say, that we all, everybody, man, woman, boy, girl, we are all victims of something some point in times. Mm-hmm. It's not just women and girls, also men and boys too.
Yeah,
and
man.
There's no shame. There's no shame in boys coming forward and saying, you know, things are hard at home or that they experience something that, you know, isn't. I think another very important role is the role of the police.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a call or you visit a home, you know,
police need a little more. Police, to be quite honest, they have a gender-based violence unit, which understood most of the dynamics. However, it wasn't as large as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has been absorbed into the victim and witness support units, if I'm not correct. Or like a correct man, or whoever. But that is what they do. So basically, we need to train the police officers to deal with the situations. However, it is real complex, eh? Because sometimes a woman will be getting abused, and I understand the police officers. They'll go and say, all right, let me arrest this guy. He literally abused this woman.
Yeah.
The woman will say, no, I love him. Leave him.
Right, true.
And then they waste their whole time now coming to report this. So
it's not a waste of time. I don't see it as a waste of time.
They will feel so.
That is a waste of police time. And she should be locked up.
Wow.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but we, as you said, it's a complicated...
Very complicated system,
and we, you know, we're imperfect humans. But just to close quickly, because I know we're running out of time, I would just say, in terms of the police, I was speaking more to the men being able to feel comfortable enough to go and report incidents that happen, and boys to report incidents that happen to them.
Yeah, man.
Because
we all need to be more sensitive.
About violence against men and boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. We all need to be more sensitive towards each other. Men, let's do it.
Let's do it, guys.
Yeah.
All right, folks, you've been listening to a special edition of The Lunchtime Doctor today, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Do enjoy the rest of your day.